So I'm going to share my screen. It's a part of my webpage where I talk about the idea of multiple mortalities. And it was a concept that was understood in early Christianity. Origen and Jerome, St. Gregory all mentioned it. Early LDS, Heber Z. Kimball and others talked about how Joseph Smith taught it. There's some scriptures, and slow me down if I'm going too fast. I don't think we need to read it. You can go to this website if you want to look at it further. But the scriptures have a phrase, go no more out, several times, which would seem to indicate that you go out repeatedly until you get to the point where you go no more out. And there are scriptures like in the New Testament where they asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind, and implying that he could have sinned before he was born. So that there was, and some people think that Joseph Smith stated that reincarnation was a false doctrine. What he actually said was false. And I go through it in detail. It wasn't that we couldn't have lived before. It's the guy that was proponent that he had lots of false ideas. But so now I want to tell you about my son. I heard this from another person who had a child that died young, and then they were told by the Lord that that child was now their grandchild. And I've got a son who died when he was 25. And I now have a grandson with the same name, his father and my son that died were very close. And I believe that his son is used to be my son. So I've got a grandson that was a son. Anyway, I think that there's a valid reality to multiple mortalities. And I don't think we maybe fully understand it. But if you want to look at it further, you can go to that webpage and examine some of those references.
Hey, Russell.
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. I want to look at it. Can you send that out to the group, the link to that page?
I will do that. Please.
Because I would like to look through that. I appreciate you doing that.
And Mark, I'll add you to our distribution list too, so that you get it as well.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's go to our lesson for today. And trying to figure out which screen to share. I guess I'll move this over here. Okay, let's share this screen. Problem with sharing the screen is, oh, there we go. Now, you want to, Lisa, would you like to read verse 92 there?
92?
Yes. You can read it from your book or read it from the screen.
It's hard for me to see the screen because it's so small on my phone, but all right. But their authorized apostles deliberately rejected the one I called to preside in his place, Joseph Smith III, and omitted the truth from the people who followed them, thus abandoning the spring of living waters that was now resting on their son, whose office now it falls on your chosen offspring, and that he was chosen for his love for the Lord and for his faithfulness to his commandments, Joseph Frederick Smith, in view of the indisputable facts, sermons, pamphlets, and books. Books must be prepared, all carefully prepared to give new interpretations to the work before left by Joseph, in order to unanimously support and promote the cause of Zion for the next generations.
Okay, so I think there's a lot to unpack here. I think we want to look at initially the authorized apostles that deliberately rejected the one who was called to preside. So, Joseph Smith III. I added in here a paragraph from his a biography of Joseph Smith III, where it talks about Joseph Smith felt as if he was being punished by God. This is Joseph Smith III, that he was somehow being tested as Job had been in an earlier day. Smith received the final answer for what he had hungered in the fall of 1859. So the reorganized church had been after him since not long after his father's death to come and lead their church, well after he's older enough. I can't remember, 1850 or so. And in an 1880 autobiography, Joseph Smith reported that while praying for an explanation of his troubles, he received a divine message, quote, that the saints reorganized at Zarahemla and other places is the only organized portion of the church accepted by me. I have given them my spirit and will continue to do so while they remain humble and faithful, unquote. So here's during this time, this is 1859, a lot of the saints had moved to Utah, led by Brigham Young and others. The Lord is telling Joseph Smith III, the only ones recognized by him are the reorganized, or those people. They weren't called the reorganized yet at that time, but here's a revelation specifying who had the divine approval. And Joseph Smith III, he was very humble and didn't go beyond the revelations he received. This book of revelations that we've got, and it has Joseph Smith III's revelations because they're valid revelations. Now, his son, who was the president of the church after him, went a little beyond and got a little more prideful, I suppose. Go ahead, Mark. You have a question?
Yeah, so it says reorganized at Zarahemla. What does that mean?
Well, there was a city called Zarahemla in Ohio, I believe it is. And that's where a group of those people were assembled.
Okay, so not referring to Book of Mormon Zarahemla.
No, no.
Cool.
And I think one of the stake president from Nauvoo was part of that group, and some of the others. So they had priesthood leadership and so forth. And in fact, that's, you know, a whole other topic we could discuss. But I think this is sufficient to show that the Lord was really, and this agrees with this revelation we've got here from Mauricio too, that Joseph Smith III was the one, but he was rejected by Brigham Young and others. And they omitted truth. Now, what truths did they omit? And I started to list some. DNC 101, which is not the DNC 101 in our Doctrine and Covenants, it's the DNC 101 in the 1844 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants. And then that section, it talks about marriage is between one man and one woman. And so Joseph Smith fought polygamy right up to the day he died. The position of the church was that there was no polygamy. And I could go to my webpage, which talks about it in great detail too, that so that's one of the things that's one of the big things that they omitted. Priesthood lineage, the fact that the Joseph Smith line was important. The presiding patriarch, Hiram Smith was the patriarch when Joseph and Hiram were killed, but his descendants have been patriarchs. The last presiding patriarch in the church was, oh goodness help me, what was his name? I can't remember.
Eldridge G.
Smith? Yeah, Eldridge G. Smith, yes. In fact, he lived till, he was 102 years old, I believe, when he died. My wife's uncle and aunt helped take care of him for the final years. But yeah, he was an amazing man, but they basically cut him out of that position. So that died with him. And that was probably 20 years ago he died. I can't remember for sure, but. And I just have here Isaiah 24:5. The earth is also defiled by the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. And I think that Isaiah scripture is talking about the very thing, that some of these things that has happened. Now, I better stop talking and let somebody else talk.
Well, I like how it says in 92 that, so this revelation was given to Mauricio years ago, but it says, in view of these indisputable facts, sermons, pamphlets, and books must all be prepared, all carefully prepared, to give new interpretations to the work before left by Joseph. And I think Mauricio's done that. He's talked about Joseph Smith III. We have all his revelations now printed for us in this book of Revelations, and we're getting that knowledge now, how important these things are.
Yes, and I don't know what we're done with that. I think we probably still need to pursue that. But you're right, this book of Revelation, the fact that it includes Joseph Smith III's revelations in it is a step in that direction. But giving new interpretation to the work before left by Joseph, I think, is really important, because the LDS Church considers Joseph Smith III to be, I mean, as I grew up, you know, I basically was taught that that Emma kind of talked her son into leading this reorganized church, and I kind of poo-pawed the idea that it was called reorganized church, and you know, it wasn't the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And yet this revelation talks about how that preserved the name by doing that and so forth. So there's a lot more information here. Any other things that the truths that were omitted that you can think of?
For me, a big one is like making your calling and election made sure, and entering the presence of the Lord in this life.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I had a thought. Well, that the meeting we had last night about the importance of women and how the women fit into the things and so forth is, I think, another thing that's been kind of missing. The blacks in the priesthood. Joseph Smith III had a revelation on blacks in the priesthood. It'd been nice if the LDS Church had known about it, because they've been through a terrible mess because of it. And it was all solved. The Lord had revealed his will about it. They should be able to receive the priesthood and so forth. So that's one of the revelations in here. Okay. Let's go on to...
Can I ask a question?
You
just
bet.
In relation to that. So there's... I've seen on the website like a bunch of LGBTQ. So I'm trying to... Because it's been held so long by all the churches that it's not of God. Is it like one of those cultural things again, in terms of like what it says in the Bible? How like a man lies with a man, and that's not good.
Right. Steve, would you like to comment on that, about the position of the church? What Mauricio's done relative to that concept?
I can make an attempt to. I can tell you directly some of the things that, of course, all of us have heard, but his understanding, divine understanding, is that a man's salvation is primarily based on his heart. That doesn't mean in accepting those that on the surface by old scriptures and stuff have been left aside. It doesn't make, how do I put that? For example, if I was married to a woman and I was playing around, or we were doing things that kind of behavior, the iniquity part of it, regardless of whether it's gay, lesbian, or anything else, is not acceptable. Not for me, not for them, not for anybody else. But to live righteously. And I think the take-home message, without me trying to explain what Mauricio meant, is that the condition of our heart, loving people who live righteously and seek the Lord in the way that they live and the way they deal with others, is the defining feature for being a member of his church. Now, I don't know, maybe I could get some help from others that understand this better than I do, but we also have that in Revelation somewhere. Russell, do you know where that is, where he was talking about this, the talks that he gave?
I'm afraid I can't pull up right now, but let me make a few more comments along the lines of our genetic makeup. It is true that there are individuals that don't have the genes to specify an X chromosome or a Y chromosome. There's some have XYs that their bodies are a little bit of confused. And of course the person is confused in the process. That's fairly rare. The idea that a lot of people should be able to express themselves in a different sexual orientation than what they the physical body would seem to indicate is something that is a it could be trained or encouraged to try to develop it's kind of is it not nature inherent? A lot of people have gone down that path and realized, oh, this is a mistake. This is not me. And now they've got physical modifications to their body and everything, which have been a mess. I think that what Mauricio is trying to point out is that without sorting all that out, we got to love them. I've seen other indications that people who can see, that don't have a veil, they can see into the spirit world, and they say that people that sometimes will have an opposite sex attraction or actually have another spirit bound to their body. There's that's influencing them, control them. Christ cast out spirits, and he talked about how, you know, if you clean it up, and you may, if you're not careful, you can invite them, they'll come back again. And some people are doing that. They could even get the spirit cast, that negative spirit cast off, and they feel like they want to invite it back. And so there's all kinds of crazy things going on with the spirit realm. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, to cut kind of to the bottom of that chase here, Mauricio talks about the work of the adversary in taking away through genetics and trying to spoil the plan of the Lord, that these people, like a number of other tactics that he's used, has taken away agency somewhat, and programming and setting them up for. And he explained that, I think, in that article. I haven't read it in some time, but it's not unlike other things that the adversary has done to try to thwart the work. So I don't understand it all goes into that. And I do understand some about the DNA and frequency and some of those things, but it is a sabotage for the people.
Exactly.
And they should be punished for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just reading an article the other day about how there are people who get a PhD in hate speech. And for you to try to talk to them about it, you'll never get anywhere because it's not something you can discuss rationally or anything. And so the devil is making inroads and destroying our basic societal elements in many ways. And it's unfortunate. Should we go on?
Well, can I add something? Because Yeah, this subject is a bit sensitive, of course, and some words can be explained wrong. But I look at it as the wedding that is being talked about. You know, the king who holds a wedding and invites the important people, and they are all busy, and then goes out and again invites other people, and they're also busy, and then he invites all the people who are, you know, excluded and bring them in. And I think this is what we need to do now, you know, whether what kind of person you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, please join the group, and we will have more power to build up Zion.
Okay.
This is how I see it now. So yeah, join in, whoever wants to follow Christ, whether what kind of person you're attracted to or not attracted to, or, you know, just join in.
Yes, thank you.
Russell, let me, before we go on, I don't know, this is just kind of nagging at me. In 92, I think, and of course in 91 too, it talks about thus abandoning the spring of living waters that now rested on their son, whose office now it falls on your chosen offspring. How many times have we heard about the spring of living waters? Particularly, I think, familiar to all of us is the well. And Christ talking about you shall never thirst after you've had the living waters. Well, how do you get from, what is it that makes a lineal priesthood divine? If we, and I think, and this is just my interpretation or understanding, is that when Joseph was taken up and implanted with the keys to the kingdom, as has been Mauricio, I've seen those scars. I think that there's a change that's made upon them, a lot like if you go back to Lamech and talked about Noah when he was born, and Lamech was upset and running away and afraid because his eyes were different. And he talks about, and the angel tells him that it's a new progeny of men. I think things are done, maybe genetically perhaps, but in ways that make it a continuous open circuit to the heavens. But I just wanted to bring that up because it mentioned that in the lineal priesthood, as being one of the things they abandoned when they went away from the line of Joseph. I would suspect along with that, that would mean his ability to receive revelation, be connected to a higher source, we'll hear that over and over and over again. At least this week, it seems like I've heard that a dozen times in different places. And I just wanted to bring that up. Perhaps that was meant to be.
Thanks, Steve. Steve, would you like to read this next verse?
Yes, please. 93. Okay. This incident, which will soon take place in your midst through the direct descendant of Joseph Smith Jr. through baptism, confirmation, and ordination to the priesthood that will occur with your coming here in Brazil, will paint another portrait of Mormonism, resuming the original painting, the which the Lord had predetermined his servants to paint in Jackson County, Missouri, early in the restoration.
Now, I just added the references in DNC 101 and DNC 105 talking about why the failure occurred in Jackson County, talking about which failed because there were jarrings and contentions and envyings and strifes and lustful and covetous desires among them. Therefore, by these, they polluted their inheritance. That's in 101. And then in 105, it says, and they then did they not impart of their substance and has become a saints to the poor and afflicted among them and are not united according to the union required by the law of the celestial kingdom. So we have to avoid all those various things if we're going to build Zion. And I also put in there, you know, it talked about soon. I believe this revelation was came during that period of 2007 to 2017. And so soon is sometimes after 2017 that the take place. And that's, I guess that's Joseph Smith, Joseph Frederick Smith. Right? Any comments?
So the incident you're referring to were the jarrings and contentions and envyings and strives and lustful and covetous desires, Russell, is that correct?
Yes. That's what happened in Missouri, where they weren't able to build Zion.
Yeah, this is what 92 is referring to then?
Well, I think that's what 93 is referring to, yes.
What is this incident then? What is this incident?
Would that not be referring to when Joseph Frederick Smith and Bob Moore came down to Brazil in 2018, I believe?
I think they first went in 2017 and then came back the spring of 2018, brought the other witnesses, and they went again in the fall of 2018. When Joseph Frederick Smith was set apart with the high priesthood. That's when he was sitting in his chair and he didn't feel right about it and he was getting ready to get up. The Lord actually talked to him and said, if you do this, you'll defeat my purposes. He says, okay. And he sat back down and got ordained.
Now, was he also baptized when he went to Brazil, or did he baptize Mauricio? Who was doing the baptism?
I'm a little confused on that myself. I think that I don't know. Steve, do you know?
I don't know about baptism. He was ordained.
I think that implies that that Joseph Frederick Smith would baptize Mauricio. But then it turns around and Mauricio's the one that ordained him. So that I'm a little confused. I have the record recorded when they came back and talked in Missouri. I have to review those talks. Michael, would you like to read verse 94?
Yeah, and I see you've got the verses there. We can read those too. Good. It is to be fulfilled in this man, referring to Joseph Frederick Smith, I believe.
Yeah.
The prophecy that you have in your LDS scriptures as being section 86, 8 through 11, and 113, 6 and 8, for the merit of the promise made by Joseph Smith Jr.'s seed about the last days and the rescue of Zion. So let's see. I'll just read from your page there. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto you, with whom the priesthood hath continued through the lineage of your fathers, for ye are lawful heirs according to the flesh, and have been hid from the world with Christ in God. Therefore, your life in the priesthood have remained, and must needs remain through you and your lineage until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye continue in my goodness, a light unto the Gentiles, and throughout this priesthood, a savior unto my people Israel. The Lord has said it, amen. And then 6 through 8. Behold, thus saith the Lord, it is a descendant of Jesse as well as of Joseph. I think the previous verse was a question. Who is the branch of the root of Jesse or something?
Yes, I think you're right.
It is a descendant of Jesse as well as of Joseph, unto whom rightly belong the priesthood and the keys of the kingdom for an ensign and for the gathering of my people in the last days. Question by Elias Higby, what is meant by the command in Isaiah 52, chapter 1st verse, which saith, put on thy strength, O Zion, and what people had Israel reference to, had Isaiah reference to? He had reference to those whom God should call in the last days, who should hold the power of the priesthood to bring again Zion and the redemption of Israel, and to put on her strength is to put on the authority of the priesthood, which she, Zion, has a right to by lineage. also to return to that power which she had lost. So those verses are being fulfilled in this man, Joseph Frederick Smith, who received the priesthood by lineage through his fathers all the way back to Joseph Smith Jr. And he had been kept hid from the world, as it were. In our day, having being that lineal descendant of Jesse as well as of Joseph, who belongs to the priesthood. Interesting.
Okay, any other comments? You keeping up, Mark?
Who was Jesse?
Jesse's the father of David in the Old Testament.
David the king?
David the king, yeah, the father of Solomon.
Okay. Why is that relevant?
Well, and actually,
because it's the same. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we probably should go to the actual question that, referred to there in D&C 113. Let me pull that up. So 113, the verse 5 says, what is the root of Jesse spoken of in the 10th verse, the 11th chapter? This is talking about 11th chapter of Isaiah. And so I guess we should go read what Isaiah says. Let me find that one. Isaiah.
I got it here. I can read it.
Go ahead.
Isaiah 11, verse 10.
Yes.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I thought that that referred to Joseph Smith Jr. himself, that he was the root of Jesse. But maybe I guess I'm wrong, or maybe it's a double prophecy where it was fulfilled in both Joseph Smith and his descendant, Joseph Frederick Smith. Or is the root of Jesse referring to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I don't know. I get confused there, trying to figure out who that is.
Yeah, well, and then it brings us back to what the question was, where it says, what is the root of Jesse spoken of in the 10th verse? So thus saith the Lord, is a descendant of Jesse as well as of Joseph, to whom rightly belongs the priesthood and the keys of the kingdom for an ensign. Again, my people in the last days. If we go earlier in that section 113, who is the stem of Jesse spoken of in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth verses of the 11th chapter of Isaiah? Verily, thus saith the Lord, it is Christ. So the stem of Jesse is Christ. And then what is the rod spoken of in the first verse of the 11th chapter of Isaiah that should come of the stem of Jesse? And behold, thus saith the Lord, it is a servant in the hands of Christ, who is partly descendant of Jesse and of Ephraim, or of the house of Joseph, on whom there is laid much power. I think that is Joseph Smith Jr. And then what is the root of Jesse spoken of in the 10th verse? That's where it talks about what we have here in verse 6.
Okay, so there's the stem, the rod, and the root. The stem was Christ, the rod, Joseph Smith Jr., and the root, Joseph Frederick Smith.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, interesting.
Good explanation.
Because you're right, Christ came through Judah, not through Joseph.
Right.
But Joseph Smith was a descendant of Joseph. And we have that prophecy in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, as well as in the sealed book, you know, that Joseph of Egypt gave the prophecy about his descendants in the last days.
Yeah, and yet this section 113 suggests that he comes from both Jesse as well as Ephraim, the house of Joseph, as well as Jesse. And so Judah and Joseph are combined in Joseph Smith Jr., I would seem to be saying. So I think that we've got time for maybe one more verse or so. Baki, would you like to read verse 95?
Yes. In turn, the message propagated by him to the people of Zion will give rise to a remnant group to which the Lord will rejoice and with whom his enemy will wage war, but will no longer win, for they will keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus Christ as prophesied by John, Revelation 12, verse 17.
And I'm sorry, I didn't pull that one up. Let me go pull it up.
Ah. Russell.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure we'd get this far, maybe. I don't know. Okay, 17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I think this remnant is talking about us. And we need to fulfill that prophecy.
By keeping the commandments.
Yeah, and the testimony of Jesus Christ.
And the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Go ahead and read the next one too. Next.
Okay. Verse. Yeah. Yes. So Jesus Christ says to you, the chosen ones by him to redeem Zion, the greatest need that exists among my people in these last days is to graft their branches for the last time on the original tree. Jacob 5, verse 60 to 70, 71 to 77, and Jacob 6, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah. There's always some confusion about that the tame and wild olive tree.
Yes, and the last chapter of the sealed book.
Yeah, well, this is from the Book of Mormon, Jacob 5, and what things refer to when. And yeah, the sealed book helps explain that. It helps bring out who's who.
Well, it is about the scattering and the gathering, I think. Like the swapping of the branches is now being fulfilled.
Yeah.
And it's not just us. It's all the people that are coming to Christ and God and all different faiths and being enlightened and keeping those commandments. I believe it's all of us collectively.
Okay.
Yes, we need to get back to the original tree so we can soak up the pure waters from the stream and make our fruits clean again.
Clean, good.
Clean. Or,
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot today. And I will send out the link as you requested. Anything else before you close? Here's our song.
Do you want to stop the recording?
Yes, I should do that.
Before we go on, Mark, I wanted to ask you if you have anybody to study with or to bounce questions off of, or any phone numbers or contacts that we could make.
Right.